Hello everybody, and welcome to Mrs. Techie's Technology Classroom. Today I'm going to be talking about 3D printing and how to get started with that in your classroom. Okay, so first things first, I have very limited experience in 3D printing itself, but I have been teaching about it for about a year now through a variety of different methods of demonstration. So a lot of YouTube videos, some CAD-based design for students, and also some actual physical 3D printing. The important thing to remember here is that if you want to teach about 3D printing, you do not need to have a 3D printer. I think that's really key because a lot of people out there want to get started but just don't have the funds to buy one, or have backing of being able to borrow one from somewhere else. So the first thing I want to do is talk about what 3D printing is, and it's basically, it's a process of making a 3D object by computer control. And generally speaking, the construction is done layer by layer. A lot of people think that 3D printing is limited just to plastic, but that's actually not the case. So there are lots and lots of examples out there where 3D printing is done using a variety of materials, mud, concrete. Even there's some medical 3D printing where they're using other things. I haven't looked too far into that, but that might be something that's really interesting to students studying biology and those sorts of things. Maybe a little bit of an inquiry project, you know, what sort of materials are used for 3D printing. Could be a really interesting afternoon study for some kids in your room. So I have done some 3D printing with plastic, but I have also explored doing 3D printing, building up something layer by layer with some other materials in my classroom. The first obvious one is clay. You probably remember when you were at primary school making some clay bowls where you lay, you know, a layer of plastic or glad wrap basically inside a special bowl that you've collected from home, and then by using some coil building, so making long skinny strips of clay, you sort of wind around and fill up the bowl layer by layer before sort of smoothing it over and getting it fired at your local art shop, or maybe if you're lucky enough in your school. So you could look at that sort of project as a bit of foundational understanding of how 3D printing works. You might say, well, hang on, making a bowl isn't really 3D printing. But you would obviously not just do that activity and say, oh, look, we're 3D printing. You'd want to supplement that little bit of learning with looking at some great videos showing some 3D printing, and I'll get to that in a few minutes. Another way of doing some low-key, unplugged 3D printing in your classroom is weaving. I don't know if you've done this, but you can get a sheet of cardboard, cut some notches in the top and bottom, it only has to be small, hand size is fine, wind yarn, string, whatever you like, even fabric strips, up and down through those slots to make a basic loom. And then having students get wool or other materials to layer by layer make a piece of fabric. You know, it's the same ideas as 3D printing. You could even have on that sheet of cardboard a particular shape that you want students to weave, and have them then very carefully, layer by layer, each layer would be a different width, and build up that shape. I've seen it done really nicely when you make a woven vase shape for the front of a Mother's Day card or something like that. Or you could just do it as a little bit of a, you know, vase shapes to go on a wall. If you had A5 pieces of thick cardboard, just has to be either, you know, cereal box backs, or even a little bit thicker, the corrugated cardboard. It wouldn't really matter, just something that's going to hold its shape depending on the size that you need. You could cut them all uniformly, have students weave or 3D print a vase shape, and then display those in your classroom sort of mosaic tile wise. It makes a really vibrant display for your classroom. I'm hoping to get one of these up and running in the next couple of weeks and take some photos. I'm pretty terrible at taking photos of things that I'm doing. That is one of my New Year's resolution, is to get some more pictures of different art, STEM, technology projects that have happened in my classroom so that I can share. So those are some really unplugged things that you can do. Now, I was talking before about some videos that could back up this learning that you're doing in your room. And I've got a couple here that you could quickly and easily look up. So my very favourite one, favourite because there's no talking in it, the students have to read what's on the screen, or if they're younger students, I read it for them, which gives that little bit of backwards and forwards conversation between us. It's very short, about 3 minutes. If you look in YouTube for 3D printed house took 24 hours to build, you will find a video by Vocative. So the name of the video is 3D printed house took 24 hours to build. And it shows some houses being 3D printed in quite icy conditions. So the idea that you could set up a computer-based extrusion machine with concrete in it and build this little tiny dome house somewhere quite inhospitable to humans. It's ice and snow, not sure quite where it is, but nobody wants to be out there building a house and taking days and days and days. And this takes one day to print quite a cozy little home. Obviously, it's just the walls, not windows and doors, and those need to be added by humans afterwards. But it's quite really cozy. You can see the outside. You can also see the inside once it's decorated with some furniture that makes it very familiar for students, makes them realise that this isn't just a shack that's being printed. It's actually someone's home and something could be quite easily lived in. It is quite a micro home, but you know, this small house thing is taking off, and kids actually know quite a lot about that, I've found, in talking with them. There's lots of kids out there who love things like Grand Designs and those sorts of shows, and have seen these micro homes and looking at homes that are being built in weird and far off places. So a lot of kids really connected with that, and the fact that it's a very short video and in 24 hours you could build a whole home. In my work last year working with teachers, you should just see the jaws drop when they realise that 3D printing isn't just a bit of, you know, plastic printing, making figurines or fridge magnets for Dad for Father's Day. You know, that this is this understanding that kids are getting from these basic activities in your room could actually lead to, you know, world-changing professional work for them. That the design of 3D printing could go into homes and buildings and hospitals and even, you know, as I said, organs. So there's a lot of benefit to talking about these things with kids. So that's the first one, that 3D printed house. It's in icy conditions. There's another one that I actually think is a very interesting talking point for kids. The video isn't quite as good. It's got an interesting narrator that can be difficult to understand, but very, very interesting if you're looking at sustainability. So this one is Gaia 3D printed house with crane, and it has wasp in the title. And it actually looks at using the raw materials of mud and rice to build a 3D printed home. Now, this one takes a bit longer than 24 hours. But when you're looking at the raw materials there, mud and rice, and you're looking at the environment it's being built in, it's a much hotter environment and looks a little bit tropical. Again, you know, a lot of kids' trades thinking about working outdoors all the time in the sun, this might not be something that they could get behind, but 3D printing a house in those conditions might be something different for them. So these 3D printed houses in this video have been inspired by wasps, and the walls are actually honeycomb-like structures where they're quite thick walls to allow for insulation but also airflow. And if you look directly down the walls, you can see that there's a honeycomb shaped sort of structure inside each of the walls that's designed for strength and, as I said, for insulation. The honeycomb shape obviously leaves holes in the walls, and those are filled with rice. So these are sustainable materials that can, you know, they're cheap, they're available in lots of places, and obviously they're available in some parts of the world that may have less funding for building. So, you know, and you won't need the need for transporting materials across countries. They can actually be grown or made where the structure is to be built. So sustainability model, this is pretty exciting to talk about. Why would this be a great idea? And having that talk with students about is this a really good model? Where could you see this model working? Would you like to live in this house? And all of those sorts of things. They're really cute. They kind of look a little bit like Flintstones houses. They're sort of round and they have these flat roofs that are on a slope, you know, to allow for rainwater to run off the roofs, I suppose. And you could even have kids thinking about the guttering and collection of water from those roofs. They're really super cute and they have like glass frontage but not very many windows, so a bit like a cross between a cave home maybe, if you've looked at those in your classroom before. Okay, so those are two 3D printed houses. There are just billions, trillions of 3D printed things on the internet. If you look on YouTube, another one that you might be interested to have a look at is 17 Incredible 3D Printed Objects. Again, I'm not so fussed on the narrator here. It's a little bit not super interesting for students, and I would perhaps even turn the sound off and just have a chat as we're looking at the videos. Have an open discussion. I like to have those discussions where hands aren't up, that we just respect one another and we can call out and add to a conversation organically. This can take some practice, but it's probably one of my favorite ways to watch videos with kids, just having them have the permission to just call out and throw their ideas out. Of course, when you're doing that, you may need to watch videos once or twice because sometimes you sort of get off track, pause them at times so that you know the conversation can continue to grow. So in that one, there are a range of different things that are printed. Obviously, watch this one first because some of the things may or may not be suited to your class. Like this one maybe isn't one to watch with primary schoolers because you know it can be seen as a little bit sad. They're printing things like prosthetics for birds that have lost their beaks and dogs who've lost their legs, and one guy's printing a whole Batman suit, you know, because that's his thing. So there are lots of different ones there. So have a look at that and use that as a springboard to find some projects that your students might be interested in. That's not one I'd recommend watching in the classroom. It's pretty long. If you want to talk about social justice and social impact of students around the world, have a look at 3D printed prosthetic hands. There's a great little video there by National Geographic, and there's also one by the winner of it's a British show. It's like the best backyard shed of the year or something, and they're actually looking at a few people who have used their 3D printers for good. So they've been printing prosthetic limbs, hands mostly, and arms for children in developing countries who aren't able to access the proper medical care and get prosthetics through any other mode. What happens is the child in that country will measure, you know, the length of their arm and their fingers on the hand that is there, and send those dimensions through where people anywhere, sort of citizen science type stuff, can pick up those dimensions and print a prosthetic working hand, and you know, construct that and then send it on to that person who needs it. So that's really powerful stuff to think that you yourself in your backyard shed or your school can print something that's actually going to change the life of one other person somewhere around the world. And the beauty of this is that it's cheap, and because kids are growing, you know, that person could then let you know when they need another prosthesis to enable them, you know, to continue to have that technology as they grow taller and bigger and they need, you know, longer hands and arms to, you know, participate in their community in the way they'd like. So that's pretty awesome. Have a look at that. There's heaps of resources there on prosthetic printing for arms. As I said, the National Geographic one is pretty safe to watch with kids if you'd like to. As always, you know, please make sure you watch these videos before you watch them with your class. Sometimes things change, they're edited, you know, things disappear and are added to YouTube all the time. So, you know, there could be some icky things out there we don't want to share with kids. Just make sure that you watch videos first and check that they're right for your context. Because obviously, what we'd show a preppy might be different to what we'd show a year 11 or 12. So, you know, in terms of 3D printing, my ideal would be to start with some of those basic skills of building something layer by layer, like I said, with clay or Play-Doh, even if you can't get your hands on clay. It doesn't have to be something that stays forever, just that idea. Have a look at some videos, and if you've got a 3D printer, spend some time looking at some software that you could use to use that 3D printer appropriately. I've seen lots of schools that get a 3D printer and whoopee, we've got a 3D printer. Off they go, download a model and print it, and then say, what now? And I think that idea is that, you know, you might do that to begin with to show the power of the 3D printer and how you can download something from the internet and get going. But you want to take it further than that. So there are some places you could look at downloading the specs on a part for something that's broken in your school and print that. That's probably the next step up. You know, you've got a coffee machine and a little plastic bit is broken, so find that panel online and print a new piece to replace that. You know, make it real world, make it helping someone else, that's great. Or, you know, I don't know, witch's hats or, you know, chess piece that's missing, print a new one so that we don't have to throw out the whole chessboard. You know, those sorts of things about repairing are interesting. But there are also some programs out there. So the only one that I've used is Tinkercad. I'm sure there are way better ones out there, but it's where I got my start, simply because it was accessible. Some kids in the school had already looked at it, so I thought, great, we're working, building knowledge. And also there were lots of tutorials available for me because I had no idea. I haven't really used much CAD software over time. I'm a little bit more two-dimensional. Photoshop and those sorts of things are what I've played with over the years. So 3D printing is something totally new for me, and I'm sometimes a little spatially challenged, so I really needed some assistance to get started with that. It's not my forte at all, but that doesn't mean that I can't help kids get into that. And there are lots of kids who this really is their forte. So Tinkercad has some online tutorials to use, as I said. It also has a huge library of objects already there. So last year, just to get the 3D printer working, I got year twos to have a look at some projects that they might like to modify and print as magnets. So they'd print the device, add a magnet on the back, and then they could give that product to their father for Father's Day. So for little year twos, I thought that this was an appropriate starting point, that they could work from there. So the only thing I think you need to be careful with programs like Tinkercad is that a lot of them need you to register an account, and you'll need parent permission to sign them up. So I was very wary of that. I didn't want to be adding student data, their information, to the internet. Obviously, I don't have permission. I'm not a parent. So those students who already had an account, that was fine. Those parents had set that up for them. But for everybody else, I just made a couple of accounts for myself and put them on designated computers and just ran a few kids through that. I'm not sure that's the best way to go with it, but this was the way I felt most comfortable about not breaching security for students. I mean, another way you could do it would be to send home a note saying, you know, Tinkercad's a tool your students might like to use. If you'd like to research it and register your students, you could do that. And then kids with registration information could come to school and you could use it through that. Of course, sharing accounts is a little bit sketchy, so those students would have to use their accounts and you'd have to work something out for the remaining students. So while we're talking about a bit of internet security and safety, let me just talk about the actual safety of using the machine itself. So you'll probably need to do a risk assessment if one hasn't already been done. And there are some available from other schools that you could take and modify, at least in Queensland, that's the way it works. But my main concerns are these. Ventilation. 3D printers that we use in school are melting plastic. We know that melting plastic is a carcinogen. And as much as the manufacturers will say this is a safe technology, I just don't like to take any risks. So I'd set my 3D printer up in a hallway under an open window, and I put out cones around it so that students couldn't get too close. And I felt that that was a suitable way to ensure that they weren't breathing in any toxic fumes. I still wanted them to be able to see. The other thing that can be a safety hazard is actually the temperature that the plastic gets to. So it's well over 100 degrees, and obviously putting your hand in could lead to some very severe burns and probably, you know, scarring for life, if not anything worse. So the particular model that we had at school, luckily that was given, it was a prize from the local radio station, which was nice, had plastic panels all the way around so that when it was in operation, you could not possibly get any sort of interference from hands, fingers or anything else. When the door opened, it stopped printing. So that model was called an Up Mini. there were lots of limitations for that. It was very small, could only print very small projects, and a lot of projects that kids designed had to be resized many, many times, often to the point of, you know, scrapping their project and having to start again. But I think that was probably a really positive learning experience for them to go through, to know that, you know, this particular design wasn't going to work with the printer that we had, or to split it down into parts, or to actually, you know, make a model that fit the parameters for this printer. So it was a really good starting point for us. We weren't really able to print anything too wow, but it was, you know, was a good starting point. So yeah, as I said, just be aware of the risks, get a risk assessment done, really talk to your colleagues about how you could make sure that you are doing this in a very safe manner. And if you don't have a 3D printer on your site, that doesn't mean that you can't still do that learning in Tinkercad. Students can still create and design, look at other people's projects, learn about resizing things. And there's also, you know, some ways to view those designs that they've created in a 3D sort of rendered way through that Tinkercad program. So they could still be building things. Kids are quite used to seeing, to building things that they will never see through games like Minecraft and those sorts of things. I think they'd still have plenty of enjoyment exploring that program. You could even have, you know, the most popular designs that are made, and you could have some sort of judging process with some criteria or a popularity contest, I don't know, some way of choosing the best couple of designs, and then head to somewhere like your local library or perhaps a community workshop, those sorts of places that might have a 3D printer. I know our local library has one, and you can submit community projects for printing. So you could still work through that idea of using the CAD software to create something for 3D printing even without that 3D printer on site. There are some people leading the charge with this type of technology, and one really exciting thing I saw that you might want to look into were there's some former NASA employees who've worked on a machine that can, and a system, you can take scrap plastics in your environment, like, you know, milk bottles and those sorts of things, and grind them up and then melt them to make your own 3D plastic polymer to be used in a 3D printer. So again, I have some concerns about cutting and melting plastic and how safe that would be for your students, but it's certainly an interesting thing for if you're having a research project to look at the environmental costs of 3D printing and how scientists are, and, you know, and engineers are working to minimise that pollution, risk to humans and sea life and those sorts of things by using that plastic in new ways. So I really love looking at 3D printing with more raw materials and concrete and soil and rice. That's what floats my boat, because I really am pretty passionate about sustainable living and minimising our use of plastic. So something about 3D printers doesn't sit super well with me, but I understand that these are tools that students need to be able to learn and use so that they can go on and take that technology further. You know, sometimes you have to think about overall big picture. So that's pretty awesome. That's about it, really. Just if you are getting started, don't be scared. Just take it as it comes. I had no idea about 3D printing 18 months ago, and I kind of got thrown in with the delivery of the 3D printer, and I wanted to make sure it was not just a gimmick, not just a toy where we would just, you know, take some designs and print them, but that we would really be able to teach some skills and strategies and understanding of this technology as something that could take us much further. Particularly if you're looking at going to Mars and those sorts of things, you're looking at taking a very distinct group of people who may not have construction knowledge, and the idea that you could send a 3D printer and that this 3D printer could then go off and build the things that you needed to build to be able to survive in a foreign environment, that's kind of a really cool idea to me, that you know, I could take my 3D printer and quite comfortably print myself a new home if I was thrown out somewhere remote. So I'm okay with a hammer and nails, but actual lifting and carrying and constructing things I'm a pretty weak, tiny 5'2" little person. I think I'd probably be pretty stuffed if I was thrown out onto a planet and needed to build a science lab and an abode and those sorts of things. So this is a really interesting idea for me, someone who likes to be self-sufficient, that I could, in fact, you know, with the right equipment, be able to do those things, which I've always been in awe of people who are big and strong enough to get those things happening. So I hope this has been useful. Please hop on the Facebook page. I'm going to pop up some pictures of the cardboard loom for you. The Facebook page is Mrs. Techie's Technology Classroom. Again, apologies for the really long title. I just wanted to make sure that it could be found and wasn't going to get mixed up with those billions of other pages out there. So look for us on Facebook. Send me a message if you would like to. Add some pictures if you've got some of any of those things happening. I will do my darndest to get some resources up for you. But just jump in, even if it's for lunchtime activity, a STEM club activity, extra little homework project, a research project for inquiry in your classroom. There are so many ways to talk about 3D printing, even if it's just for fun for 10 minutes on a Friday afternoon. Just give the children that opportunity to see it and dream big and take those concepts and ideas out into the world with them, because I think this technology is really exciting and I can't wait to see where it takes us. So thanks for listening again to Mrs. Techie's Technology Classroom. I'm not sure what the next one will be about. I'm taking suggestions. I have a few ideas on my notepad here and I will see what happens in the next few days. For those of you heading back to school, have a great first week and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.